Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. I'm annoyed now.
From the Chris Wesley Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. I got heroes all over. Mark Sessler. Let's try something different. Mark Sessler, and then the person says something very quickly. Mark Sessler.
Happy to be here always, every day.
But something truthful. Greg.
That wasn't quick enough.
Yeah. Colleen Wolf.
I'm always annoyed now.
The song's over. I mean, it's got to end before the song ends.
I kind of like that, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd workshop my response if I knew that was coming.
We're going to try it again in exactly 2 months.
Okay.
With no warning, so just have something in the can ready.
No, we're on season 11 of like a sitcom where now they just, the writer's room is like, they don't know what to do, so they just start throwing stuff against the wall just to keep themselves entertained.
I think we arrived there long before today.
Connie, this is the summer of Connie. I know it's confusing to people, but it is. Mm-hmm. Southern California and really the West Coast in general are getting battered by rainfall and storms repeatedly.
I'm freezing.
Does that cut into the summer of Connie? Does that affect it in any way?
Yes. This has been a really bad launch to the summer of Connie, if I'm being
I mean, you're here every week.
Frank.
That's a problem, too.
I'm asking you guys if I can come on the show because I am just sitting at my house watching the rain come down. So I'm available all the time, guys.
What about the old wisdom that April showers bring May flowers? Why? It's March 22nd right now.
My lawn has slugs in it, and it was like dead just like a couple months ago. It was just hay. And now from the rain, there's actually slugs in it.
All that dog urine will take care of that, though, in time.
It will offset it. It will offset it.
Just think, when I introduced you, Mark, you could have simply said, April showers bring May flowers. And the place would have went off. The roof would have blown off the studio.
There are times when you need to lean on the wisdom of a nursery rhyme or whatever that would be, that type of text.
Truth. All right. Thursday show.
We've lost Greg.
Wednesday show.
Greg had just stopped talking at some point.
He's
Greg,
smiling and staring at Dan.
The bar is too low for Greg at this point.
Today's
right
Wednesday. Greg, yeah. Congratulations. You're wearing your Tokyo Swallows jersey.
First time. Saw it in the closet. I was like, I've never worn this. This is the day.
Did you uncover it in the move?
Japan, the WBC champs.
You figured it out, Colleen. I threw out a lot of clothes, and I was like, no, this is cool, actually. I'm
going to
keep this. And now is the time, because my guy Murakami, who is on the Swallows, big hitter the Japanese team.
You are cemented as one of the biggest Fairweather fans of all time. You literally had the jersey housed inside your closet, and you're wearing it now that they're world champions.
Well, this is technically the team in Tokyo that Emeka was a season ticket holder to as a kid.
Really?
I go every year to their games. I can't say I'm an everyday fan. I've watched six innings.
That I called him a Fairweather fan. Like, I can tell in his face. You're a great fan, guy.
I've watched six innings of baseball this year, and I'm just a diehard fan now.
And did you, when you were laying out the shirts this morning, were you concerned at all about the cultural disconnect of wearing the jersey that just in giant block letters says Swallows across the
front? I think everyone could handle that. We know where the Swallows come from, the
It's a Boyd, right?
It's a bird.
Yeah. It's a Boyd.
they travel north to...
That's actually how my grandfather spoke. A bus driver from the Bronx.
Yeah.
It was not a bird. It was a Boyd.
A Boyd.
Yeah. All right. We got a good show coming up. Baba, rest in peace. We are going to... Hey, Connie.
Hey.
Remember
Baba, also the Japanese word for grandmother. So
really?
Well, there's a lot happening there. Here.
This is unbelievable.
There's a lot happening there.
I just can't stop staring at Swallow.
I'm going to put my shirt back on.
No, don't make him self-conscious.
No, it's so good.
I love it.
No,
don't
keep...
Do
no,
it, Greggy.
It's great.
Don't do it.
I love it.
Stand up for your team.
They got the little song.
Colleen, you and I did a little thing called Power Rankings podcast during the season. The Power Rankings returned this week on NFL.com.
How about that? I didn't get a call to do a show, though.
Me either.
Okay, cool.
And I didn't check in. I didn't check in with the powers that be either. I was like, okay, I'll lay low.
How'd it feel dipping back in?
A little weird. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Just like when we did Winners and Losers, free agency with Bill Barnwell, it's like, man, how certain do I feel about any of these teams right now? But the machine needs content.
It does. Mm-hmm.
So I did my best, and I did go through them again after I finished writing him after I, you know, went out live and, you know, did the NFL Now, Siciliano, and I didn't check in to see if we even had to do a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I went through it again this morning and I was like, okay, what jumped out to me during the research and writing process? And we'll go through it and you guys can push back and say what I blew. Because I actually think, and this happens all the time, I blew a few right off the bat. I was like, why is that team there? Who wrote this?
And it Looking was me. Looking back at it after, right.
Literally sure. two yeah, days yeah. ago.
Well, it's okay. a tricky time of year because now are you spinning forward to who's going to be good in 2023
right.
versus like who played well last
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
I love it.
One.
I love the debrief, the regrets. That's
All
great.
Right. But first, let's do some news.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs.
That is the voice of Cam Newton.
I want to know who the randoms are.
I think
Classic
we could guess.
Job.
I think basically almost every backup that got a job in the past week in free agency, probably the target of his...
Probably feels like Taylor Heineke that way.
It feels a little Mike like White. Baker Mayfield.
No, he's not
is
a
that,
random.
Is
he's
that
a,
shots
he's
at
a lot
Baker?
Of things, but he's not a random. I think
Jared
it's more
Stidham.
Heineke or Stidham. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Here's, I mean, the thing about it is, and you remember, Wes famously had a term for Cam Newton. He called him, do you remember, Mark?
A stooge, I believe. No,
it was a preening schmo.
A preening
oh,
schmo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that.
And Cam's interesting because I was never a big fan of him. And then when he, later in his career, he felt more like it was maybe a little humbled a little bit and he didn't quite have the tools anymore. And he was just kind of grinding through that Patriots season and then that forgettable final five starts with the Panthers. And then you hear that drop and it's like, oh, that's the old Cam. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a disconnect, though, because he's kind of a random now.
I mean, he's not a random. You can call
I'm talking
him
in
a
terms
lot of
ability.
Things, but in terms of his influence and sort of his career path, he's kind of iconic. Like, he's a player people will remember forever. At this point, though, he's not
a former
a team.
MVP.
Right.
Of
he's
course.
A,
yes.
One of the best college football seasons of all time. But he's
very recognizable.
I don't think he's getting a job. He's 34 now, and I think that Carolina season was probably his last one.
Right. I guess I meant, you know, more it's a fraternity, the QBs, and he's obviously a far way off from 2015 at this point. You know.
Well, he's getting older, and the players are getting younger. But I'd say also that, like,
there's
even
some
during
schmo in there still
during that humble era that you mentioned, he still was coming to you know the podium in like a grandmother's cardigan and a fedora. So it was like it wasn't a total mind shift.
Would I trust
know?
Cam Newton for one game over Drew Locke, who got $4 million from the Seahawks somehow? That was a sneaky, terrible contract.
Whoa.
In free agency. Yes, I would. I would.
Okay. Agree to disagree. But I don't think either you would be in a good position with either player. But we'll see if anything comes of that. He did throw at the Auburn Pro Day through to his brother, in fact.
How did the brother do? That's what I'd want to know.
I think he caught some footballs.
Okay.
There was always he didn't talk to the media afterwards.
There's always the other Cam Newton in our league that whenever you try to like, there was a disaster, like a guard or something.
Remember the other Lamar Jackson?
Well, he's still around. Yeah. Like reporters, here's a public service announcement. Stop doing the Lamar Jackson joke. It keeps happening. Yeah. It's like, oh, Lamar Jackson just went on waivers and nobody claimed him.
Just stop.
Terrible tweet. Yeah.
Let me hear just a little more, Cam.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs.
He's funny, right, though. Buddy.
I'm going to sing. I can't wait to sing. Oh, I love him.
You can't tell me that he would.
A lot of people telling the idea.
No, that's good. You can cut it here.
You know, I love him in a locker room.
He's a showman.
He is a showman.
Yes, he is.
This, mm-hmm. You can't tell me you put him next to Terry Bradshaw on Fox on Sundays. I just feel like he would fit in that
scenario.
Get him
in there.
Yeah. I just feel like he
and
would.
And he goes into Aunt Doreen's closet and he pulls out the cardigans.
I don't know why we still need Terry Bradshaw in that equation, but
Terry's just collecting those paychecks. Maybe Terry will come up in our conversation on NFL Media with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post tomorrow. Probably not, but he could. And one last Cam note. I completely forgot about that. He invented his own font. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It showed up in this announcement. I was like, bro, you're still doing that?
It takes dedication to create a language.
Just trying to make fetch a thing.
Let's get to the news, starting with a report from our friend Ian Rappaport, who reported on Tuesday regarding DeAndre Hopkins. I'll read the tweet. As the status of Cardinal star DeAndre Hopkins comes into focus, talks are ramping up among the interested teams, sources say. Similar to Brandon Cooks, a trade would likely mean an altered contract. All right, Greg, we know you're in a quiet war with agents right now.
No, I'm not.
Even though you have an agent.
I'm just trying to, you know, present the little guy's side. It's agents and the big media versus everyone.
That's always been your stock and trade. Decode this tweet, because obviously this is Ian in contact with his sources, possibly and probably agents, right?
I think it's DeAndre Hopkins and his agent sort of trying to get it back out there that, hey, okay, first wave of free agency happened. They have been having these talks, obviously. I don't think Rap Sheet and the agent are making this up, and like trying to put it back front and center as like, we want this to happen this week. Put your best offers on the table. I'm sick of sitting around when I see Brandon Cooks and some of these other deals happen. That's about it. Like, let's get it back into the conversation now. This is a good, nice, quiet week.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought on it, Connie. Like, I saw the report. I saw it get aggregated everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the report again. I looked at the tweet again. I was like, what does this actually mean?
Well, right. The altered
what
contract
are we learning?
Part, too, is maybe he's willing to take a pay cut, is what I read into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw the Browns are not interested in him. There was a lot of people that were talking about maybe some type of reunion with Deshaun Watson. But if there was going to be a possible deal, the Panthers would be really interesting to have him and Adam Thielen there with, I mean, who knows who the quarterback's going to be, but.
That would be nice, but that's also, that's a 30-year-old Nuke and a 33-year-old Thielen.
I don't know if I
want to
put DeAndre Hopkins into a scenario where you don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It could be a rookie. You could have to play Andy Dalton for a while. Andy Dalton and DeAndre Hopkins don't feel like a complete marriage to me. I think DeAndre Hopkins has to go. There's probably a smaller list of teams, and we're getting closer to the draft where I think if you're him in his camp, you don't want some of these teams feeling good about their wide receiver room because they drafted guy A, B, or C, even though it's not a great draft for that. The Patriots reportedly have been sniffing around.
They seem like the most logical. And
I mean, I think
don't...
you talked about Belichick's like adoration of Hopkins. There's some that goes a long way there.
Well, I think they're in a similar spot to the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, but you know, have less leverage, which is just like the Cardinals aren't in a particular hurry. What do they care about being in a hurry? If they have to wait till April to feel like they're going to get the best draft pick possible, then they'll wait till April, and they're probably not getting a second-round offer. I believe if there was any team out there that was going to give up a second-round pick, I think they would just
Now. The same thing happens every year. Like 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, we did a segment, and we were floating trade ideas, and it was like, yeah, Nuke for a first. That makes sense, a late first. And then all of a sudden, you get to this time of year, and it's like, maybe he gets a second, maybe a third. Mm-hmm. The veterans in the trade market seem to fetch less than you think.
Brandon Cooks got a fifth and a sixth. And I'm not saying they're the same player, but Brandon Cooks I would say maybe I take him over DeAndre Hopkins in certain
situations.
It's like
the situations. Way we as fans.
I would not, but I hear you.
It depends what team.
It's debatable, right. But a third, you know, I know he's turning 31, and that's a little bit of a concern. A PED suspension followed by a bit of an injury plague up and down season.
There's things that
did you hear what Belichick said, though?
No.
I love you, man. He said, I love you, man.
That was years ago. But, like, the Broncos are saying they want, or there's the Jerry Judy is going to command, like, a first or a second. Give me a break. How would you ever
see Jerry Judy? I could see it more because at least he's young. I think Jerry Judy would have higher value.
You only have him for a couple years,
and you don't have him for much money. Whereas Hopkins costs a lot of money and is older.
For the record, Mark, that Nuke Belichick sound was from this past season.
When did I say?
Years ago.
Well, that was last year.
Felt like years ago.
You said multiple.
It was the Monday Night Football Classic, Cardinals Patriots.
My argument is not that was happening literally 1 year ago today, or who I was, or who the Giants were. So that's a weird 10 pull. Also,
Giants.
There's that too. I guess.
How did the Giants get in the drop? All right. In other news, Lamar Jackson. Oh, the saga. The saga continues. Your old boss, Florio, Greg, is hot on this story. He's into it. And here's a report from Pro Football Talk that Lamar Jackson, per multiple sources, a representative for the quarterback has contacted more than one team in an effort to, this is Florio's writing, spark negotiations and aimed at a possible offer sheet. The rep is not certified by the NFL Players Association. As the source explained it, the person has said that Jackson does not want a fully guaranteed contract. Some regard this. Continuing to read Mike Florio's writing, this as a possible exercise in semantics, with Jackson still wanting a very significant amount of fully guaranteed money with one or more non-guaranteed years on the back end. Mark Sessler, is this our guy? Is this our dude? Is it the Saint?
Is it Saint Omni?
I don't know, but I hope it is.
If you were to line up a list of suspects, I mean, St. Omni's got to be in that list, if not the top of the list.
I love this,
and
dude.
One little thing is we talked about how St. Omni helped Laramie Tunsil in that same like PFT reporting. Laramie Tunsil tweeted about St. Omni, in quotes, "He was with me every step of the way." That's an agent. And like basically the agents are going nuts because it's like you're not certified.
You ain't certified.
Agents have to buy like malpractice insurance and go to all these union meetings and all this other stuff. And St. Omni is just floating in on a spaceship and sealing the deal. I kind of love it, but I don't see why they don't love it.
Right.
So.
I think it's in violation of the CBA, though, to have a non-certified agent. Like
you mean the CBA that's negotiated between the union and the NFL?
Yes.
So.
And the union
that's working with Lamar Jackson to get a deal done?
But if Greg is all over this agent thing, like Greg's mentor, Mike Florio, is like doubly all over it, where like he is writing the NFL asking, why is no one doing anything about St. Omni? And they aren't responding to him.
He's on the other side of it. He's on the pro agent side. It's also, though, the same place where we were reporting all the agents saying, look, if Lamar had an agent, we'd be tampering the hell out of this. We'd be breaking all the rules that now we care about. They're just mad that he skipped all the Zoom meetings. It's like St. Omni doesn't have to go to the compliance plan.
I don't do Zoom meetings.
Yeah, it's like,
well, it's definitely like you're not in our group and you're doing all this. Like,
wasn't at the town hall.
Right, exactly. He doesn't get the benefits. I mean, nothing about this. They were mad about Lamar for not sort of selling himself around, and it appears someone is doing it now. And the semantics of whether like it's illegal or not, I don't think are going to matter in the end. It's more matters if like, is someone going to do something about it? Colts? Patriots?
Come on.
Like, someone?
This is so
about
weird.
Time.
It is. It's moving so slow. I don't know if this means that he is in a situation where he's like not panicking, but I mean, now he's reaching out to other options to try and get things moving. He knows that he needs to, but I guess the longer he waits, the more leverage he kind of has, right?
In other news, speaking of leverage, speaking of guaranteed dollars, our boss on some level, Roger Goodell.
On a very concrete level.
Right, that's
all
the level. His name is on the checks. I love that part.
Roger Goodell and NFL owners are expected to finalize a multi-year contract extension for the commissioner at next week's owners' meetings in Phoenix. This is Roger Goodell's fourth extension, or it will be, since becoming commissioner, taking over for Paul Tagliabue in September of 2006. Greg Goodell obviously has the faith of ownership across the league to continue to get these extensions and the big paycheck that goes with it.
Hey, big Rog week. That was a bot. But, you know, us February 19th birthday boys have to stick together, me and Raj. And
totally.
I'm hoping for a similar type extension at a similar
right.
level. There was reports years ago that this was going to be his last contract. Mm-hmm. And I think we've
Those
heard that.
Those reports always happen.
Right, it's happened a couple of times. And then you get to the end and they're like, you know what Roger Goodell's been really great at? Making us money. A ton of money, and they all want to keep him, and it's tough for him, like many players, when they get towards the end of their career and they think maybe they're going to retire, and then they get offered a great amount of money to keep it rolling. So next stop, Roger Goodell. Let's figure out what's going on with the old NFL media.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the next bullet point, I guess.
I mean, this isn't a secret thing. He's talked about it, that they've, you know, had these, you know, putting it out there, trying to get a partner. And so I'm just curious what's going to happen.
It's weird because he's always seemed...
We are invested in that outcome.
Yes.
He seemed younger to me, but he'll be older if he goes through the end of this extension, which he'd be 68. That's 5 years older than Pete Rozelle was and 3 older than Paul Tagliabue, who both... Tagliabue always seemed older than me than Goodell by the end of it.
I saw him in Arizona outside the coffee shop as I was walking Watanabe-san, who was, by the way, a huge Tokyo Swallows fan.
Love that man. That's your father-in-law.
Sat Tagliabue walking by. What a large man. Got to be 6'6" or something.
He works out.
And he does not look young now. That is for sure.
Goodell's going to have this job indefinitely. I think that he can have this job basically as long as he wants if he continues on this course.
If he gets, and there's a new report from ESPN about one of the bidders, a Canadian businessman for the Washington Commanders. I mean, if he gets Snyder out the paint and gets a big stadium and billionaire owner there, I think that's one of the best moments of Goodell's career. It feels like he's helping that.
Long time coming.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
name. That's my game, bro.
All right, we're back. In other news, the Houston Texans continue to build up their roster ahead of the very likely new quarterback to come with the second overall pick. They signed running back Devin Singletary, formerly of the Bills, 1 year, $3.75 million. He will join a backfield with Damian Pierce, who looked very good in his rookie season. They also, I like this move, they signed tight end Dalton Schultz, formerly of the Cowboys, 1 year, $9 million. So there you go. This is a Texans team that, yes, Justin.
Just moments ago, as you were teeing that up, the Texans signed former Raiders linebacker Denzel Perryman to a one-year contract as well.
Wow.
Pro Bowler as recently as 2021.
Very active.
They're
time
making moves
for Houston. Your thoughts, Mark?
Well, I think it's, you know, you want to create an environment where the rookie quarterback you bring in, who is, you know, you've got Case Keenum who could start the season, but build a good environment. And it's been a terrible environment for a long time. And you just moved Brandon Cooks, and so you're light on wide receivers, but I like their backfield. Dalton Schultz, Laremy Tunsil across from Titus Howard at tackle with Shaq Mason at guard. Their offensive line was a disaster for a long time. Like, they are starting to build the semblance of an infrastructure to put a rookie quarterback in there. And I do think that the difference is you don't have another one of these one-and-done coaches that are propped up as total fall guys. You've got D'Amico Ryans, who the players already love.
Yeah, and Dalton Schultz, he's going to be perfect for whoever they bring in there at quarterback as a security blanket. I mean, he did great things with Dak Prescott, and I'm kind of surprised because Dak loved throwing to him. He was one of his best targets or most reliable targets. So I think that this is a nice little sign in here for them.
You asked me like a month ago. Nice job. Like, what do I consider a win for this top 101 list and whatnot?
You
could look at the Dalton Schultz lack of a market as an L, because I had him super high up. And
I was really surprised by that.
I was shocked by that he didn't get more money, because he got the whole up to $9 million. I don't know what's up with the up to this year. Everything has turned to up to, which is just a way to not say their real salary, which I think, based on reports, we haven't gotten the details, is going to be like Mike Gesicki, which is about half of $9 million and with a bunch of incentives. I'm shocked that Schultz and Gesicki didn't really get much money, didn't get a lot of interest. They misread their market. And like Hayden Hurst got way more than both of them. I like these moves for the Texans. They're like real live NFL offensive starters.
I wonder,
that are
good. So the tight end class this year is really deep and really talented. So that actually makes sense.
I think teams are waiting for that. And like, but Dalton Schultz is
back.
A great signing.
She's back.
She needed a comeback take, and she got it.
All right. And before we hit odds and ends, and hold on to your butts for that. Let's listen to one of the forgotten important plays in recent Super Bowl history.
Out of the shotgun, Ryan gets hit. Ball is out. This is a fumble. New England has it. Hightower knocked it out. And Branch recovers for the Patriots.
That was Donta Hightower of the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 53, the 28-3 game. It was 28-12 at that moment with 8 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. The Patriots
8 minutes to play, and it was third and one. They should call it the 28-12 with 8 minutes to go on a third and one game. I know that's not as good as 28-3, but that's even more remarkable than just 28-3.
How about this, Greggy? I thought we were teeing up a different highlight because Donta Hightower, linebacker, retired yesterday officially. He made the tackle on Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line before the Russell Wilson interception by Malcolm Butler. And we were sitting in that stadium high up. And when Marshawn got that ball, it looked like he was going in. And that would have put New England behind in that game with less than a minute to play or about a minute to play. That to me was like the play, but another great Patriot.
The man was called Mr. February by no less than Bill Belichick. And that play, those two plays actually kind of summarized Donta Hightower well, because he was a big guy who could blitz. He was the only linebacker on the field in that Rams game where they held them to 3 points, six guys up front, one linebacker, because he could do it all. Blitz, run stop, and that play where he stopped Lynch, like he has the center on him and he disengages from that block and tackles one of the toughest guys to tackle in the league, Marshawn Lynch, just a yard before. And like, they literally don't win those two Super Bowls without Donta Hightower.
I think the performance against the Rams is undersold because of those two other games. He dominated Jared Goff. The Rams didn't get past New England's 26 yard line, and it had a lot to do with how he was dispatched. He missed the Eagles Super Bowl with a torn pectoral. You have to wonder, looking at that game, with the fact that you're right, Belichick called him Mr. February, what happens in that insane back-and-forth contest if you have Hightower in there? Because he simply he delivered every Super Bowl there was.
The same result happens.
No, I don't agree with you, Colleen. Not at all. You get Hightower in folks' face.
You know, Greggy, the Patriots may not be special anymore, but all the kind of various homecoming, anniversary, halftime, that's part of having this great run like they had for 20 years. They're always going to be lit, bro. You're going to have so many big time guys that you get to roll out. As a Yankee fan with Old Timers Day,
sure,
you have the same thing, especially like from the 50s and 60s, those runs. So it would be like Brady is DiMaggio.
It's
going to
be a lot of anniversaries in general.
Right. Like you got all these guys. Like Devin McCourty retired also, and he was another vital cog in the Patriots machine. He will be coming out of that tunnel. You guys will always have that. And I believe it's highly magnanimous of me
to
bring it up.
Slater is back. He's their core special teamer. But McCourty and Hightower retiring this offseason does feel like kind of, okay, this is really the end of the last embers of the players that were there for the titles.
Do they still have the like the old Yankees? Am I misremembering this? As a kid, like the old Yankees would come out and play like a squad versus squad game?
Yes.
Slightly depressing. Are they still, have they shelved that at this point, or do they still bring like 49, 55-year-old, 62-year-old
like
players out.
Actual graybeards.
They do.
Yeah.
They bring them out, and they play like three innings.
But you can do that in baseball. That's a nice thing. You can't. Nice try doing that in football pads.
Like, yeah. Just, the less said about that, the better. It's just that would be a tough sitch.
Tough sitch.
Oh, no.
All right. From one depressing, scary situation to odds and ends. Connie?
Oh, God. Okay.
Different key.
I don't know if I have another key.
You have another key. It's in you.
It's high.
All right.
Let's go high.
Three, two,
okay, I don't
one.
Think I can.
Go.
Odds and ends. Odds and ends. Hey, everybody, tell your friends. It's odds and ends.
Oh, that's very good. But where was the...
When it's Colleen, though, it really has a
where
nice...
Where's our
when
ominous
she's here, it's
sin.
Not ominous. It's
it
happy.
Was really funny.
It's happy. It's happy. As Greg said, I thought because Colleen's here, it's like it's a little more pleasant.
What are these conversations that I'm missing?
Uh-oh.
There were no conversations.
There was a synth there. You just didn't quite catch it.
No.
Dan's going to have to talk to you after the show.
Breakdown in communication.
Justin Graver, please report to the principal's office.
Bring your playbook.
Dr. Hansis will see you.
I right. did send you a bunch of options, and you never got back.
Oh, there he is.
Two
standing
sides
up for himself.
To every
well, there
story.
You go.
It's good.
That will be struck from the record, though.
All right. Odds and ends. Here we go.
Okay.
Do we do 8 o'clock delight with odds and ends?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, hit it, please. The Bills make a move, adding Damian Harris to their backfield, former Patriot.
Great move. A lot of juice. A lot of upside. Was terrific 2 years ago.
More on the Bills in a moment.
Yeah, don't let it stop you from getting Derrick Henry.
Starter right away.
Dante Fowler returns to the Cowboys, Connie. You
oh,
like it?
My gosh. Yeah, he did a great job last year. I think that he's going to be able to do a good one
they
this
also
year, too.
Added
Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. Come on, let's go.
Ronald Jones also there. I guess he replaces Zeke. Mm. Ben mm-hmm. Roethlisberger claims the 49ers contacted him last year, Mark.
I mean, they went after Jimmy G. They asked about Tom Brady. They asked about Aaron Rodgers in years past. They pulled a trade for Trey Lance. I think they probably, I don't know why they have to say he claimed it. Do we just assume that Ben Roethlisberger is lying on the radio about this?
I think it's fair to question
like,
things.
What a weird thing
but
to lie
what, like,
about.
Like, Ben
it was
just goes on the radio and lies
you
about it?
You know why?
Why?
Because Greg wrote that.
Yeah.
I know. From our thing was Ben Roethlisberger claims the fort. Like, why would you just come on
it
air
It is hard
and
to believe, though.
It's a little hard to believe.
It's also not that high octane of a thing to say. Like, so we're assuming you're coming from the place you think he's lying to
I
us.
Think as journalists, you want to have double two sources.
Like, maybe get Cam double Newton
source.
Instead.
Triple
if it's
source.
A if it's a choice between Cam and Ben.
The Pats bring back Jalen Mills. Adey Goldman unretires to join the Falcons. Andrew Van Ginkel returns to the Dolphins. Isaiah McKenzie joins Colts. David Blau back with the Cardinals.
Ooh. Safe.
The Blauhards.
He has a chance to start, I think, week one. I don't know if Colt McCoy will be there.
I don't think he has a chance to start week one. I mean, I hope not. Jeez. You're right.
Well,
right
they've
now.
Got Kyler Murray, who's not going to play for a month plus, and you've just signed another quarterback. A chance.
Okay, that's fair. I guess I'm just trying to think.
I'm claiming he has
a
chance.
Week one. That is a tough sitch.
Yeah, unless you're trying Cardinals to go, unless you're doing the old desert tank job.
What is it? What was the well? Old, you learned it in journalism class, Greg going muckraker?
They would put out like actual newspapers of like, you know, yellow journalism.
Yellow journalist, Greg Rosenthal. All right. You ready? Let's take a break and get this some power rankings.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game winner I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game. That's my game, bro.
All right, welcome back. You ready? Ready?
Let's go.
I've never been more ready.
Let's, Colleen.
It's time.
Let's Russian doll this bitch.
All right.
Go.
What? Hey, welcome to NFL Power Rankings presented by Energizer. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we needed the presenting sponsor, but sure.
Right.
I like batteries. I'm Dan Antis with Colleen Wolf and two very special guests today, Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler.
Ooh.
What's up?
It's a pleasure to be here on your guys' weekly periodic pod about the Power Rankings. Right, Greg?
Yeah. What took so long to ask us?
I think it's important to set boundaries, you know? I didn't think you guys would want to be coming in for a Tuesday Power Rankings taping and then do what Connie and I did,
right,
which is turn around and drill a Tuesday around the NFL taping.
I'm not sure I buy that take at all, but we'll proceed forward with the today's show.
Also, I've heard Mike Flame, Mr. F, might be available for off-season sponsorship. He let me know personally he's an expert in escrow.
He is?
What? Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
Mr. F?
We've always wondered about Mr. F and what his true background is, where he gained immense wealth and traveling the world.
Is he still in The Hague?
Escrow,
no,
bro.
He's literally a math genius from Hague, the Netherlands. So knowing escrow wouldn't be that far out of bounds.
He's now in Maine.
It's true.
You should outsource all math to him.
So he's
Dan.
Yes, exactly. I put him on retainer. So he's an escrow math genius.
I mean, I know he's a genius enough to be teaching, you know, hungry high school students about economics and math and mathematical concepts.
He's laughing at this because he's like, escrow is not complicated. What is wrong with these people?
It is complicated.
And like 85% of our listeners are like, who's Mr. F? Go back to season 2 or 3.
Go back, baby. All right. Power rankings. Yes, there's a new power rankings up. Written by me on NFL.com. You can find it at NFL.com/power rankings. Or NFL.com/Hansus. And yes, it's an assignment. Did you ever get assigned, by the way, Mark, the QB index post-free agency?
Post-free agency?
Yeah.
I have not, and I would rather you not bring that up.
That's
as a concept.
That's so nice of you to remind
everyone. Actually, you have
everyone.
To say, though, because I was thinking about why not. Like, I don't think it makes as much sense for QB index.
Nothing's changed.
Like, where are we putting, like...
Some teams don't even have
putting Ryan Tannehill in terms of its own personal performance I did it 4 weeks ago.
If I could. Let me just say, like, if Ali Bunpari, our editor, is listening
kill
to this.
You.
He's not going to
These teams,
with this.
These players, the quarterbacks that have switched teams, they change schemes, playmakers around them. I think maybe a pretty thorough deep dive about their new arrangements, how it could change where they fit in the league as a whole. I think it's worth it.
Well, right, because QB Index isn't just a ranking. It's like a culture. It's a way of life.
Thank you.
And in the offseason, sometimes when you don't do the rankings, you can still have interesting looks at the QB market. There's a lot to talk about.
I don't entirely disagree with the concept. I don't know why the two of you are trying to take a weekday of mine and completely wash it aside.
Like, where did Patrick Mahomes finish?
Number one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No left tackle right now. You lose Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, I would assume he's probably still number one, but let's discuss it. Let's break it down.
Down to 8 or 9 at this point.
A 300-word blurb. All right, let's get into it, because I did have to do this assignment. And
which makes entirely more sense.
Yes, it does. It really
does. I guess I should feel more urgency on that front then.
So let's kind of go through it. I'll read the top.
That is not me from today if you're trapped in your car.
I hope you're not trapped in your car right now.
Also, call the authorities to help you get out.
If you could reach to the OnStar button, if you're in danger, if you still have that. Does that still exist? Here's the top 10, and kind of connected again to Mark's QB index. I have the Chiefs at 1, Eagles 2. They stay there. I got the Bengals still at 3. The Bills at 4, the Niners at 5. They swap spots. I don't know why. The Cowboys 6, Jaguars 7, Chargers 8.
Bored.
Jets 9, Dolphins 10. So there's the top 10. And I'm going to, you guys can jump in whenever. I kind of went through it and I just wanted to share some thoughts. And I'll start with the Bills because we hit it quickly there in 8 o'clock delight. And I think I know your answer, Mark. But I like Damian Harris. I've always liked Damian Harris. And so I think he's an upgrade over Devin Singletary. But Connie, do you think that they still need to do more to help that quarterback? Or would you be okay with them rolling forward with this and some draft adjustments? I kind of kept them where they were, basically, because I feel okay about it. But at the same time, it did seem to me like this is going to be a missed opportunity. This is such a pivotal year for Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't love what they've done so far in free agency because they haven't done a lot here. I think that they do need to help out Josh Allen. Obviously, that offensive line was an issue at the end of the year, too. So that's something that, you know, needs to be figured out. But, you know, I like the fact that they kept Jordan Poyer. Losing Edmonds, though, is such a big one for them. And I think that's going to come back to bite them.
Like, I'd struggle. And I know, first of all, I know when you're doing the list, it's like this stuff gets into a different place. And it's not because you're using some deepest mathematical formula. But they were 5 and they're now 4. And, like, the Niners lost some guys, but they didn't tangibly change to me. And so my thing is more not about where they're ranked, but it's like, you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, who I think would be that's a good fit for Buffalo. It's like, go get him now. He's got a couple seasons left. You've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You can pair him with the rest of that offense. Austin Eckler, you mentioned. That's a great idea. Like someone, or if you want to go Derrick Henry, it's like, if you're the Bills and you've been this quiet and you're not going all in and you're saying the roster we had last year is good enough. When again, like this is a team that's not suffered the devastating injuries that other teams have. They've relatively had on defense, maybe, but on offense, that offense has been relatively healthy. And is this the best team in the AFC like we presumed a year ago? I don't think so at all.
But I think they deserve to stay in the top 5 because they've earned it. They have continuity on defense. I think they're going to miss Leslie Frazier. That was a sneaky big loss to suddenly now McDermott maybe is calling plays again. They have more needs than they've had in previous years. I expect them to get creative and do more. It doesn't surprise me that they're kind of second wave of free agency team because they didn't have a ton of cap space. But to answer your question, Dan, no, they haven't done enough. They got issues at receiver. They got issues on their offensive line. Now they got to replace Edmonds. Keeping Poyer was nice, but I think they're going into this part of the season with a little more obvious needs than usual that they're going to have to address creatively or in the draft.
They signed Connor McGovern on the offensive line, but like I think they still need more help beyond that.
Yeah, are they going in the right direction? Like I said, they got to get over the hump this year, and you know, we'll see. Yeah, with San Francisco, Mark, that's just more like my kind of takeaway. I was thinking about like, do we feel better or worse or about the same with our quarterback situation this year? I love that, you know, I didn't mention him as a winner with Barnwell the other day, but like, you know, fortifying that defensive line again, which has been such a big part of what they do, was very important. So they did that in free agency, but we shall see. I want to go to some tough ones. The Chargers at 8, and I was thinking like, should the Chargers be dropped out of the top 10? I don't know. Like, I think there's some of that 27 zilch stink from the playoffs that I'm dealing with personally. And Austin Eckler came out and said he still wants to be a Charger if they could get a deal done. So maybe that's not over at this point. But there's just, I don't know, maybe it's just a bad vibe situation with LA. Do you guys see them as a top 10
team? I think it's a bad vibe thing right now. Like it's they need more speed at the wide receiver position for sure. I know that they need some help on the edge too, but it just feels like no matter what happens with the Chargers, they still can't get it done. And then when you have Austin Eckler who's trying to get paid and he's such a good player and that whole situation, I just like don't feel great about the Chargers.
Yeah, I feel like it's 2 years in a row where you're left like the Brandon Staley experience had these early high moments where he was sort of seen as a genius and a great communicator. And then like that Raiders loss 2 years ago was ugly from a coaching angle. And last year to lose the way they did is just like his whole selling point when he came in, his early Q&As was like, I don't even understand what it means to charger. This is not that culture. And it's like, but you just, it's not just right. you, but the whole team collectively did the biggest version of that ever. And they haven't had a lot of ability to do much in this offseason. So they've stayed put outside of the Austin Ekeler news. For me, when I see the Jaguars at 7 and the Chargers at 8, it just tells me how quickly the league drops off from teams that you could trust to make an AFC or NFC title game to absolute middle of the pack. Everyone else.
Right. I think you have the right top five, and the Cowboys make sense as 6. I think they've had a solid offseason so far, and they've just got so much talent. And then after that, like, you could pick almost any team. The Jaguars were the ones that stuck out to me the most as, like, wow, 7th best team in the league. A lot went right for them a year ago. They do have Trevor Lawrence, but I guess I'm not ready to put Trevor Lawrence with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and those quarterbacks just yet, because I just want to see it like a little bit more. And I guess I'm not just assuming that they are a house on fire that starts right where they were a year ago. It's nice they're in that division.
They couldn't do as much spending, obviously, this year because what they did last offseason. But the Ridley trade, when you add Ridley to the rest of the guys that are there, Kirk, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, Travis Etienne, and Lawrence in year 3, who now has mojo.
Right, I don't
he's
have.
He would be a buzzy MVP.
I don't
pick,
have a logical candidate for who then even would be ahead of them at 7. You right. can make a million cases. Like, the Ravens to me are low at 13, but that's because they're the Ravens, and the Lamar thing confuses everything. I might put those Detroit Lions up
that's
at 7.
So, okay,
let's really get carried away.
Why drop them 2 spots? Like, I love what they did adding to the secondary.
Yeah, I bumped the and this, Connie, you'll remember with the AFC West last year. They were the darlings. They opened week 1, 3 teams in the AFC West in the top 10 and 2 of them flatlined more or less. And so it's this year. It's the Jets and Dolphins, who I just think have a lot of upside this year. And there's a lot of, you know, positive buzz right now. And that's what I'm writing it. And it makes sense to me that they have top 10 team upside. And I guess it comes at the expense of the Lions. But I mean, I have them from 9 to 11. I love the Lions. I love what they've done in the secondary with Sutton, Mosley, and CGJ. That is a big upgrade, and I guess they still need to get a little better in the front 7. Is the defense? Can you trust the defense at this point beyond Aiden Hutchinson?
They thought they had great depth last year, and it didn't quite work out that way. They played better as the season went along, but I like that they aggressively addressed one issue. The offense is in good shape, but you're kind of just picking your favorite teams here. I probably would have put the Jets, the Dolphins, and I would put the Lions, all those guys ahead of the Jags and Chargers for now.
I would have maybe bumped up the Saints a little higher.
Ooh.
I kind of like the Saints.
Okay.
They're at 22. And then you have the Browns at 21, the Rams at 20. The Rams feel
that stood out to me.
Rough but, there.
Okay, so let's start with the Saints then, because that was one of the teams. Connie, you're on the right track.
Yeah, hey.
That was one of the teams when I was going through it again. I was like, you know what? I think I like the Saints more than I'm giving them credit in these rankings, because their defense obviously was not the issue last year. In fact, the Saints defense were 8th in total DVOA last year. They were 3rd in weighted DVOA. And then you look at the offense, and like, the offense has got a chance here.
Right?
So you got Derek Carr. Michael Thomas is such a huge piece here and a part of the mystery around this offense. But Olave and Thomas on the surface is one of the better pairings of wide receivers in the league. Juwan Johnson could be a Pro Bowl type player. Jamal Williams now is there, and he's better than Mark Ingram at this stage, and he also gives them cover if Alvin Kamara misses a bunch of time with this off the field issue. So I think they're going to score points, and I think the defense should be maybe – does the defense take a step back? Is that the concern? Because this does seem like a team that can win 10 games.
I agree, but they're asking Dennis Allen to cook some magic in that defensive line. It's basically Cam Jordan in a lot of, like, who? They did lose some players, including Marcus Davenport, David Onyemata, and brought in guys, Kalen Saunders, Nathan Shepard. We haven't talked about these moves, but these were guys that were like 300, 400 okay snaps for other teams that the Saints are going to ask to do a little bit more. 22 feels low, though. They feel very much like a middle-of-the-road, closer to 16 type of team.
I mean, I'm struggling with a couple things, like the Falcon.
Come get my ass.
We spent all this time listening to each other talk, and you've been off Atlanta Falcons for 2 years. And I've always thought that, like, if anything, Arthur Smith has gotten into a better record than they should have had. They were 7-10 a year ago, imperfect, but he found a way to coach around some of their weaknesses. They're not the 27th team in the NFL to me right now. After what they've at least gone for it. I mean, if you're going to take the Jets without even having Aaron Rodgers yet and propel them up 7 spots, I see what you're doing there. Like, it's well set. But, like, I don't understand the Jets as the 7th best or the 9th best team in football and the Falcons at 27.
What do the Jets have to do with the Falcons, though?
Because I don't see that disparity there, like that difference. I just think that there's – I think
– okay.
Dan, I know you're not going to want – I don't see the Jets as the 9th best team yet. I want to see
that. Is this about the Jets or the Falcons?
Let's go back to there.
Because I thought we breezed past that a little, but it's like that was an audacious.
And I'm totally down to hear it. Tell me – and maybe it's as simple as you don't think Aaron Rodgers can play anymore. But what makes the Jets not a team that is least in that conversation?
I think, number one, I would flip the Dolphins and Jets to start. If we have the Jets at 10, I can look at that. I'd flip them with the Lions, though, and put them down at 11. And we're talking about a Giants team that just made the playoffs that I think is really well coached. I think the Jets are well coached, too. I think you are hoping and presuming that you're probably going to get 1 year with Aaron Rodgers, that you get a plugged-in, much better version. Right, but with the Ravens, they're getting dropped because they don't have Lamar Jackson right now, and we don't know what's going to happen there, right?
Amongst other things.
I mean, the Ravens, to me, like...
I think we're assuming we know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers.
All right,
that's baked
but
in.
I don't know. I just feel to me... I guess as a stung Browns fan, this offseason reminds me of the offseason where they traded for Odell Beckham, and they were being talked about as this thing that's just going to develop and happen. And... there are a lot of X factors that can get in the way of that, and it has not appeared to me to be a put-in Aaron Rodgers about to turn 40 in a new city, it won't be a new offense, but with all new teammates. We don't know how long this is going to go on, if he's going to actually miss the entire offseason, plug him in, and they're essentially the fourth best team in the AFC. For you, as my friend, I hope that. I don't see that right now. I need to see more proof of that.
Dude, everything you're saying makes sense.
That's a great point, Mark. Mm.
Everything you're saying makes sense there. There is two ways this can go. I don't think there's a middle. I think they can be very competitive and be a major player in the AFC, or things can go very poorly with Aaron Rodgers. I think the reason I have them here is there is a lot of upside here. And at this portion of the rankings, and also when you look at the other AFC contenders, I think they have the potential to be better than any of those teams. And I, you know, pointedly have them beneath the Jaguars and Chargers, but they're right there. I just think when you look at Rodgers, and this is what a lot of this is about, their defense is ready to go. We know that. That's going to be a strength of this team. And I think they have in Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, and Elijah Moore a really good trio. I think Elijah Moore with a actual quarterback, there's still a big-time player there potentially, okay? I think Breece Hall comes back from that injury. If he comes back okay, and again, these are ifs, he could be a star running back. The offensive line is going to be better. They're going to use their draft to build it better. They're going to get healthier. And I think you put those things together, there's just a lot pointing to this being a good team. And I guess my pushback to you on that, Mark, would be where would you have the Jets in this exercise? Who else in the AFC, for instance, should be
well, like
ahead
I said, I would put them first of all.
Besides the Dolphins.
All right, so I'd flip them with the Dolphins. I'd flip them with the Lions, so they'd be down at 11. I might have them above the Giants, but I look at the Seahawks at 14 and say I think the Seahawks, after what they achieved a year ago, that feels low to me. I think the Seahawks have showed me more than the Jets right now. The Jets do have all these things, but like last year they had a lot of those things too. They had terrible quarterback play, but they completely...
But that's what it's about,
but
you know what I mean?
They completely crumbled down the stretch. That's part of your DNA as a team, where the Seahawks, who a year ago, I don't know where they were in these power rankings, but we were laughing at the idea of Geno Smith and Drew Lock and fill in the blank doing anything, and they make the playoffs. Because of that organization. So if the Jets are selling us a massive organizational sea change, that's cool now. But it's like, you know, is better than anyone. It's like when we get to October, November, it could look completely different. So
but
it just
you
it feels
said to
a little...
me last week, Mark. You when I was talking about how I understand there could be reasons to be negative and the history is tortured. None of that actually matters. Like, what matters when the games kick off
matters
is
a little
who's on
bit.
The field.
I think there's an organizational trust, especially from ownership, that things that when things go wrong, and there's always going to be some
adversity during the season, that they are they an organization that's going to handle it well. Like, you hope it's different with this coach and GM and everything, and they're more important than ownership. But there is something in me that, like, looks at Ravens and looks at Jets, and, like, if they're close, I'd probably just give the edge to the Ravens because they're the Ravens.
And I'm not pitching this disaster scenario either. You had them at 16 at the end of the season. The Rodgers thing is nice. All I'm saying is Seahawks, Lions, Dolphins, above the Jets for me right now. They're sitting down around 13, 14. There's promise, and we'll let's go.
So
earn
you
it.
Would have them at 13, and I have
13,
them at 9.
14, 14 maybe.
Okay, so not that far off.
It's not that far off, but to vault the Jets into the top 10 in this kind of exercise is a headline-grabbing move.
Colleen, these guys once hosted the debate club together. We're just sitting here as
you don't say.
Bystanders.
We can move on.
We need to move on. I just want to say this because the one thing that does annoy me is when people twist this stuff. No one knows this has a chance to go terribly more than I do. Do not think I think this means I'm certain the Jets are going to be great. This is a projection of what they could be, and if Aaron Rodgers is there and healthy,
you're not like this one-sided.
Please do not say
I'm
out here saying there's no way the Jets aren't going to be awesome this year.
No,
can
but
go
in
either
this
way.
Exercise, they're ranked ninth, so that's why we're discussing it.
Yeah. Dan's annoyed now.
It makes sense to me.
Ninth
is a borderline playoff team or like sort of lower-end
playoff
team, which sounds about right to me. I'd probably have them 11th or something, but that sounds, or 10th, but that sounds about right. One of the teams in the middle that shocked me, first of all, I might have the Vikings not in the top 22 or something. But
oh, you know what's funny? Before we go to your thing there, okay. Because that, in terms of on social media, after I posted this on Twitter, the heat I was getting were Vikings fans that were annoyed with me that I have them at 16.
When right. are Vikings fans not annoyed with you?
Well, they do the same with Kirk Cousins. They want him ranked fifth right. in the QB index.
Now I'm ready to reset. They just feel like a rebuilding type of team. I think there's a decent chance. I saw on Mock Draft Live back on NFL Network, hosted by Connie Fox.
Check it out, everybody. Every Tuesday.
DJ put Hendon Hooker, the 25-year-old quarterback prospect who's coming off an injury, with Minnesota in the first round. So I think they could be like using a quarterback on their first round pick. It feels like a transition year. Carolina at 18 was as surprising as almost any team on this entire list. I mean, I know they have some players on their defense and they do have the number one pick coming. But I just feel like they're like a bottom five or six team in the NFL at this point. They lost their receiver, DJ Moore. Like, it's just it's not a great group. I know their offensive line played pretty well. I like Frank Reich in general, but it just feels like they're kind of a team that's starting from scratch. We'll see how the number one pick plays. Maybe he'll be awesome right off the bat, but it's a lot to expect.
Yeah, no, that's not part of my projection. It's not about the number one pick, really. But going back to the Falcons now, yeah, you could definitely make a case they shouldn't be separated by 10 spots. I just, like, I see the Panthers as a team that's going for it, and they're being aggressive this offseason, and they're making a bunch of moves, and they're going for the quarterback they've wanted, and they're going to get the guy. They own the draft right now, and I see the Falcons as a team that's just, you know, we talk about the Saints, they're okay with going 9-8. Like, what are the Falcons trying to do? Like, they're just going to... In year three of Arthur Smith, they're just going to turn it over to Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. And I'm supposed to get excited about that? I just their ranking is about me, and, you know, I write it. So, like, maybe it's not the most analytical breakdown, but it's like, what team is more kind of lost in the mist than the Falcons to me?
I mean,
right,
I'd
there's
say
not many.
From the quarterback angle, they believe in Desmond Ridder if they stick with him way more than you do and way more than a lot of people do. That's fair. But they've been as aggressive as any team out there to try to improve both sides of the roster.
Bringing in Jesse Bates was good, but I just don't feel like the Falcons have a ton of juice. Also, I want to know, like, what are some of these other regrets that you have?
Regrets?
Let's go through that, because you said that you were kind of second guessing.
That was a whole episode once. Remember we had
regrets.
Regrets.
I have the Commanders too low, and I think that's... Like, if the Giants are 12, the Commanders can't be 29.
Whoa, yeah.
I was annoyed about that. But also, I think some of that is, like, I feel like the organization is just trapped in purgatory until they figure out this ownership thing. So I'm just kind of...
Don't you feel like when you're doing this list, too, it's like, crap, what? Someone's got to be between 22 and 32.
There's very little separating, like, 12. Yeah. Well, that's also because I'm down on the Giants. But very little separating 12, you know, to 15 and, like, some of the mid-20s teams.
But, like, the Giants to cycle back to them, like, the reason why I have the Jets above the Giants is a lot of this, especially this timing of power rankings, is like kind of a projection. I just think the Jets have a higher ceiling than the Giants right now, so that's why I have them ahead. And I guess If I could do it again, maybe the Giants are down a couple spots and then the Washington Commanders are up about 3 or 4 or 5 spots. But that was probably the big one that stuck out to me. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm surprised that the Packers are so low. I just have a feeling this is going to be one of my takes that we end up repeating for 5 months because there's ways to go. But I think the Packers were incredibly unlucky last year in terms of the close games that they lost, some of the injuries that they had, certainly. I think I'm giving LaFleur some credit and their front office some credit for winning 13 games 3 straight years. I'm taking into account Aaron Rodgers wasn't peak Aaron Rodgers last year, and I'm taking their evaluation of Jordan Love into account. And I'm thinking, like, if I look as a Lions fan now, that's what we all are. Like, who's the team I'm worried about in the NFC North? It's still the Packers. Like, if you told me the Packers come out this year and they go 11-6 and they've still got a lot of good players on the roster, that wouldn't shock me at all. And that's the organizational
thing,
too.
Where's the desert coming down right now in the NFC North? Is it Detroit?
It's so early, but my guess would be Detroit would be a slight favorite over Green Bay and Minnesota.
How about that?
Yeah. Vikings fans are going to come after you now.
I think the Packers, they haven't done anything, which is very annoying. Like, if I'm a Packers fan, why aren't you signing Dalton Schultz? Like, you have no one at
right
tight end. Like, I know they'll do something eventually, but there's some pieces there that you like a lot in terms of both sides of the ball, really.
And, you know, the Ravens at number 13, which Connie, as we know, number 13. What is number 13 in the power rankings?
It's like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. It's like the team that I don't know what to do with them. They kind of confuse me. It's hard to figure it out. So I kind of just slap them at 13 and move on with my life. And, like, the Ravens, the reason why they're in that spot.
They're a perfect 13.
And why they're outside the top 10 is because, yeah, maybe Lamar's back. Maybe he's not. It's probably still leaning more towards that he's not back, but I don't know.
This may be one of the rare times where they think they belong at 13. They don't know what's going on.
But because of the Lamar thing, and maybe not because of some of their moves in recent years, I just feel like the whole organization is frozen. Because remember, even when Lamar was there last year, and I know they changed the play caller and all that, but like that offense wasn't so hot after the first couple of weeks. And it was very clear, like, we need to, like, build around this quarterback. We need to add some more weapons, give him a chance to develop as a passer. Is that happening right now?
They haven't been able to do anything.
Where is the forward momentum of the Baltimore Ravens? And that's why I couldn't have him in the top 10. That's why I have him behind the Dolphins and the Jets and the Chargers and the Jaguars, because I can't – usually I would just plug that. That's a top 10 team in this exercise in recent years this time of year. But I can't do it right now because I don't know what they're doing.
I'd also say one other thing for them that is this sort of raging X factor is you went out and got Todd Monken as your offensive coordinator, and they're actually like – probably having him go look at quarterbacks you like in the draft that we can get somewhere, because this is a guy that right now you're in the deep shadows trying to figure out a completely new offense. You're moving away from Greg Roman, away from Lamar Jackson Central potentially. Like, that's not a good setup, because it seems like we're a billion years away from the season. Not with this kind of stuff where you're like, what do the Ravens even look like on offense? Do our players even fit? The draft's like 4 weeks away.
They lost Ben Powers. They cut Calais Campbell, who was visiting with the Falcons. They just had those veterans that, okay, it makes sense. You're not going to keep them forever. We'll see if any of them come back. But they were kind of key pieces for their team last year. Justin Houston, Marcus Peters, even a JPP who came in late. Like, I'm not worried about that, but they just feel like they have a lot more moves to go. And when Devin Duvernay is still your number two, it is a little concerning. They seem to me like the most likely Hopkins.
They haven't made any.
That just feels right.
Right? What? Just because of the Lamar?
I don't know.
Why would Hopkins want to? And I guess, I don't. Does he have a no trade clause or anything? Like, why would Hopkins want to go there right now?
I don't see why.
Oof, no.
That might be part of it too. That it's like, what offense are we going to build? We have to find out who our quarterback is too.
There's got to be, like, we talk about, like, they talk about, like, you hear, what are the Jets going to do if Aaron Rodgers doesn't go there? Like, what are the Ravens going to do if Lamar Jackson's there? What is their backup plan right now? What is their plan?
If he's not there?
Yeah.
Like, well, because in theory, you get two first-round picks, and you can, like, draft a quarterback.
Ooh. Have a little McCorkle Jones. Let's go. Let's go.
That's a good
song. Give it to you.
And that from the Tokyo Swallows.
All right, there you go. Any other? I think we covered it pretty well there.
Just a McCorkle for Lamar, straight up. You know, challenge trade.
That's depressing.
Right. Good stuff.
Great job.
Anything else? Anything else anyone wants to share?
Wow.
Talking into a microphone. Big opportunity for everyone in the room right now. Justin, you as well.
Thanks, Dan. I have nothing right now, but I need a bigger heads up to think of things to say.
God bless you. All right, let's go. I mean, unless somebody had something. Ooh, we're going out with the outro.
That's it. I don't hate this.
This song. It's a good song.
You know?
It's a banger.
Gets me ready for more power rankings.
All right, we're going to be back with one more show this week. Connie,
yeah.
Thank you. You said it all.
Of course. Anytime.
Until next time, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.